Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a major Friday in the Herd in Los Angeles, a sad city this morning. It's sunny. It's not that sad. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, it is a pleasure to have you in today. All the joy, all the happiness. Half of the ice cream cone has melted and already hit the sidewalk. The other one in the LA sun, it's dripping. It's close. It's about ready to fall out of the cone and hit the sidewalk as well. And Joy Taylor is joining me. It's over for LeBron and AD.
Yeah, it's look, Lakers fans have had a lot to celebrate over the last year. They have lots of championships, and it didn't end well this season. But there's a lot that could change over the next offseason.
No question.
Stay optimistic.
Let's start with this. If the Lakers were a restaurant, they'd have to go out of business. The service, the quality of food, the effort, it changed every night. That's the Lakers season. Is AD healthy? Not tonight. Oh, he is healthy, but he's not aggressive. Dennis Schroeder's amazing. Now, that was two nights ago. Tonight, he's terrible. Andre Drummond, well, you can play him against this team. You can play him in this quarter. You can't play him in that team. LeBron's healthy now, but he has no juice tonight. How about Kyle Kuzma? Yeah, he's totally disappeared. You don't know what you're getting. The whole season was like a restaurant that you didn't know if it was hot food, cold, the service was good, the bathrooms were dirty. You got to close the restaurant. Actually, Phoenix is the opposite. As long as Chris Paul's like 80% healthy, you got the same thing every night. You got Chris Paul's toughness and intelligence and leadership. You got Devin Booker's offensive brilliance. Jay Crowder, the 3-and-D guy, you get his toughness. You got DeAndre Ayton's athletic ability and size. Every time you go to that restaurant, you know exactly what you're getting. That one stays open, 4 stars. Now, the Lakers' ceiling is higher, but how many times did they hit it this year? 4? In this series, they had one great quarter. It was the third quarter of game 2. It was the best quarter they played. It was the best quarter any of these teams played in the whole series. And they had about a really good game and a half. But you never knew what you were getting with the Lakers. As long as Chris Paul's 80%, this is why the Suns finish as a second seed. You know what you're getting. They're a really good basketball team. Well-coached, play hard, leadership, offensive brilliance. Now, the good news for the Lakers, you can move almost everybody. Kyle Kuzma's contract, you can move it. Dennis Schroeder's free agent, he won't be back. Andre Drummond, not under contract for the Lakers. Montrezl Harrell, he was in the doghouse, he's done. The bad news for the Lakers, AD and LeBron are coming back. Because right now, LeBron does not have the juice on a nightly basis. And Anthony Davis, when he's in the mood to be aggressive, is he capable of playing? You know, I was watching before the game last night. I'm watching him practice, and I'm like, they're showing the video, and I'm like, this is, no. Now, even if he can play a little, he's not playing long, and he's not playing game 7. And then, couple minutes into the game, you know, he's in pain. You got to take him off the floor. Charles Barkley, you know, I know the Laker fans think the good news and the bad news, they're actually all the same. Kabloom is probably the best answer. Charles Barkley last night.
You should never be hurt early in your career. Like I always told people, from 22 to 32, you're Superman. And then obviously age and all the games take their toll. For him to always be hurt, he's doing something wrong. And at this stage of LeBron's career, Anthony Davis is going to have to be the best player on that team if they're ever going to be good again. LeBron, at some point, and age is starting to catch up with him too. Just know that he's going to just keep playing great for eternity. It's not going to happen. But at this stage of Anthony Davis' career, he should be the best player on that team.
But you can't trust his health. This morning, Laker fans are trade everybody. Actually, I'd consider trading AD But like Joel Embiid, that market is shrinking. As a general manager, I would struggle to inherit the next 4 years of AD's contract. I don't know what I'm getting. I'd take a lesser player who's healthy. I mean, what big change are you going to make? What big swooping change? Steph Curry. Why would Steph Curry tie himself to this? Steph Curry could go play with Luka. Steph Curry could go play with Giannis. Why would I tie myself to this? He could go play with Jimmy Butler. Why would I tie myself to this? Well, what about Dame? Dame's getting frustrated like crazy in Portland. His guys can't stay healthy. His guys aren't dependable. So, listen, LeBron, L.A. is just more of what we've seen. LeBron has won championships in now three different cities. Two in Miami, one in Cleveland, and one in Los Angeles. And what do they all have in common? He never wins the first year. Takes him about a year. You always think he probably should have won at least one more in the city he should have been in. And they end sooner than you think they should end. Miami was like, poof, it's over. Wow, it just started. Cleveland, boom, he's gone again. Los Angeles, the winning title stage for LeBron and the Lakers, it's over. It's amazing, but it's over. There's not going to be a pandemic to give LeBron and AD 4.5 month hiatus. That's a once in a lifetime strange break for a franchise, for a brittle guy and an old guy. Two in Miami, one in Cleveland, one in LA. It's amazing. Let's celebrate it. But LeBron came to Los Angeles for 50% basketball and 50% business. He's already talking about Space Jam. Let's talk about Dame. Now, we all love Dame. I used to work in Portland, know the city well, know its history well. And stop me if you've heard this before. Portland is out in the first round. Okay. Dame's amazing, but and he's loyal. But after last night, he dropped an interesting Instagram post. Kids love Instagram. Basically quoting the late, great Nipsey Hussle. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meets preparation? Now, first of all, I worked in Portland, and I have sympathy for this franchise. In the history of not only the NBA, but professional sports, there has never been a franchise that has been snake bit like the Blazers. Let's talk about that for a second. Bill Walton is arguably the greatest college basketball player of all time, UCLA. Bill Walton was, you can go ask historians, may have been the greatest college basketball player. They get him in Portland. They win one title. He falls apart physically. What a bad break. They draft Sam Bowie. Go YouTube Sam Bowie. He was 20 years ahead of his time. He was 7'4", pull up for a bank shot on a fast break in the angle. Sam Bowie was insane. You'll watch Sam Bowie video on YouTube. He's 20 years ahead of his time. Goes to Portland. Boom. Legs fall apart. Okay, we got a couple bad breaks, but that's enough. We're never going to get Brandon Roy. They get Brandon Roy. Great player. Great player. Cartilage, knees, rubs, early retirement. What? He had like 9 years all-star left. Okay, this cannot happen again. Greg Oden, monster center, the next great center, falls apart physically. I don't blame Portland for any of those. I don't even blame them for not drafting Michael Jordan. They had Clyde Drexler, who's another one of the greatest college players I've ever seen, played the same position as Michael. I don't even blame him for that. And Bowie was unbelievable. I don't blame him. Snake bit four times. And then Dame Lillard happens. Loyal, tough, one of the greatest offensive guards in the history of the planet. You get everything. He doesn't miss games. He is clutch. He is tough. He is loyal. You hit the super lotto with Dame. But this is not bad luck. This is bad GMing. 8 years, you can't get him a number two. I'm not saying it's easy. Mark Cuban could never get Dirk a number two. I'm not saying it's easy, but you've been trying to convince us Nurkic, CJ McCollum, good players, like them both, love them on the roster. They're not twos. Norman Powell now. I hear Norman Powell. Got to get Norman Powell back. He's not a two. He's probably a four in a championship team, maybe a three. Nobody's more snake bit. I mean, I got great sympathy. Walton, Bowie, Oden, Brandon Roy. This is on the team. You got to take a big swing. And you've been trying to convince Blazer fans and convince everybody this guy's a two and that guy's a two. No, they're not. Milwaukee tried to do that nonsense with Chris Middleton. I banged on that for 2 years. Chris Middleton's a good player. Love to have him. He's a three. On a great team, he's a four. On a potential championship team, he's a three. You were trying to sell me Chris Middleton's a two for years. I kept saying, nonsense. He's a 19-point-a-game guy, can hit big shots. Love him on my team. CJ McCollum, Nurkic, not it. Old Melo, not it. Covington, not it. Norman Powell, not it. Take a big swing. Because Denver was missing Jamal Murray and Will Barton, two of their starters, out first round. Here's Dame after.
If I don't know what a shakeup looks like or what changes will be made or could be made. But obviously, as is, it wasn't good enough. You know, we came up short against a team without their starting point guard and shooting guard, and we came up short. So obviously, where we are isn't good enough to win the championship if it's not good enough for us to get out of a first round series with, you know, two of their best three or four players not on the floor.
I'll defend Portland forever. They got a spot in my heart. Nobody got worse breaks. Nobody. I mean, could you imagine being an NFL team and you draft like a Peyton Manning level guy four separate times every 7-8 years? Yeah, he got hurt. I have great sympathy. But Dame, you got to take a big swing. You got to blow this thing up, give Dame somebody. You just don't, Dames don't exist. Now, it's not easy to find a number two. But finding Dame is next to impossible. Tough, great, loyal, for his size, doesn't get hurt. That stuff doesn't, you don't get that. This is your Ja Morant. I that's why I always said when LeBron left Cleveland after 7 years, you're burning jerseys. You burn the owner's jersey. 7 years, you couldn't get him an all-star. We're talking 8 years for Dame. You're trying to convince me old Melo's the answer? Get him a new car. Let's go uptown. Let's go to the Mercedes dealer. Enough of these other dealerships. Let's go uptown now, blow it up, and get him a star. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get another Dame. That small never hurt. That clutch. He and Steph Curry are the two best clutch players last 10 years in the league. Little old Portland got him. You're not getting that again. That's not happening again. Swing big.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
A lot of people are asking, you know, the question today, ooh, a first-round playoff exit, will it tarnish LeBron's legacy? Not one bit. And that's like, you know, hot take debate show stuff. Like, I get that. Michael Jordan's last 2 years with the Wizards were a disaster. He was heavy. He couldn't jump. He didn't get along with teammates. They couldn't make the playoffs in the crappy East. Nobody cares. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, conversely, ended his career with a great deal of elegance. Won two of his last three finals. He got to the finals. It was classy, sophisticated, refined. Did he get credit for it? We never talk about it. The end doesn't shape legacies in 99% of careers. All of us wobble a little as broadcasters in our late 60s or 70s, and all athletes wobble a little at the end of their careers. Even if they win a Super Bowl like Peyton Manning, it's not because of them. This is the mogul stage. We said this when LeBron came to Los Angeles. We said he has graduated now to the mogul stage. 50% basketball, 50% business. And after he lost last night, not only did he not look dejected, here's what he said after the game. He is already talking 10 minutes after the game about Space Jam, the movie.
No, I think I'm going to play for the Toon Squad this summer instead of the Olympics. And I think that's what that's my focus on trying to beat the Monstars or the Goon Squad, we call them now. So didn't have much success versus Sun. So now I am gearing my attention to the Goon Squad here in July, in mid-July. So I'm going to let the ankle rest for about a month, and then I'm going to gear up with Lola, Taz, Granny, Bugs, you know, and the rest of the crew. So hopefully see y'all at the match.
Yeah, he looks crestfallen. Legacy, check. Money, check. Trophies, check. Lifestyle, he'll be at the pool, check. Folks, is Elvis less iconic because of the fat Elvis stage? He died on a toilet. Nobody cares. All we talk about is the cool Elvis, the young Elvis. Doesn't matter. When he moved to L.A., LeBron made it very clear. I remember the first year he moved to L.A., he stopped following in all my social media stuff because I said, dude, you're still a basketball player. You got to care a little about basketball. But he didn't like any of the young Laker players. And so he was like, you know, setting up all these meetings with billionaires. And then, you know, the pandemic, he had to focus on some hoops, and he was great. But we all knew going in, like, if this was LeBron's first iteration in Cleveland, I'd be like, dude, come on. It's got to hurt a little more than this. If it was in Miami, I'd be like, come on, that's your crowning moment. If it was in Cleveland the second time, I'd be like, you still haven't won here. Come on. Los Angeles, he won a title. It's over. Like, he's literally laughing and talking about Space Jam 10 minutes after it's done.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's talk Clippers. They got their wish. Lakers are done. It's now finally a chance. They share the same building with the Lakers. Lakers always hog the spotlight. Lakers are done. June and July, my friends, is Clipper Town, USA. Little brother no longer. The Clippers have a slogan in Los Angeles. You'll see it in commercials and billboards. The slogan is, "This is our time." I would submit to you, if they lose tonight, let's put up new billboards for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Kawhiet, please. I'm over you. We talk about LeBron's legacy, but it's already been shaped. What about Kawhi's legacy? And I think this is something to talk about. There's a difference between quirky guy and strange guy. All of us, all of you watching, all of you listening, we've all worked with quirky guy. Eats the same thing for breakfast every day. He's a little rigid in his cubicle, a little bit of a nerd. It's okay. You can work with quirky guy. Quirky guy's often fun and smart. We've all worked with quirky guy. Strange guy, like, women aren't comfortable around him. Guys aren't comfortable around him. Hygiene isn't great. Strange guy is like, you don't really want him in the building. I've worked with a couple of those. A lot of quirky guys in the NBA. A lot of quirky guys. Got a different look, different sound, different. Kawhi's kind of falling into, is he going to play? His health is a mystery. He doesn't talk. 2 years, two coaches. Two smart coaches. Why is the chemistry so bad? You go from, like, you know, we've all, it's okay to be quirky in sports, in life. But then what happens when you go past that, and it's hard to explain. I had Rick Bucher on yesterday, and I said that. I said, if they get bounced in the first round with this talent, we all blame Doc Rivers. Well, he's winning. We're all going to blame Ty Lue. Well, Ty Lue's got a title. We're going to blame Montrezl Harrell. At some point, we can keep blaming Paul George, but does Kawhi have a much lower ceiling than guys like me who really love his game ever perceived?
You're echoing what a lot of GMs have said to me over the last couple of years, that Kawhi Leonard, for all of his talent and for his two championships, is not a leader. So who is? The decision-making and the leadership is the huge missing piece with the Clippers.
He doesn't really communicate. Teams now back-to-back years bad late in games. His game's never really been about elevating others. He's gotten better with the assists. The load management thing, I don't really understand it. Is he just going to be a guy that takes 20 games off a year? Nobody really elaborates on it. I just think if they get bounced in the first round and they have a better team, I mean, like we said earlier, they won 47 games with Kawhi and Paul George between the two of them taking 40 games off. It's a good team with a championship-winning coach. Dallas won 42 games. Clippers had home court advantage. Clippers had a better team, better roster. Clippers have, you could certainly argue Kawhi is a much better overall player than Luka. Luka plays no defense yet. So you start losing games, it's one thing. You start losing series, you're favored, and you can't blame injuries. You kind of move into a different territory, from a little quirky to this guy can't really be a one. We'll see. His legacy is still being shaped.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So let's bring on BJ Armstrong, three-time NBA champ, is now joining us live. So, it's interesting. Everybody talks about LeBron's legacy, and I'm like, don't worry about LeBron's legacy. It's fine. But Kawhi's is interesting, BJ, because this is 2 years. They're way too talented to be this lousy at the end of games. We all blame Doc Rivers. Well, Doc's doing pretty good in Philly.
Right.
Ty Lue is no slouch. He knows what he's doing. He's got a title. This team should not be nearly this bad at the end of games. They've lost every home game in the playoffs. You know, you talk about Kawhi, BJ. What made Michael great was not only his relentlessness, his talent, but Mike would get in your kitchen in timeouts. Mike communicated. Mike was verbal. Mike was not passive-aggressive. If there was a problem, BJ would go right to you. He's yelling. And with Kawhi, BJ, and you as an agent know this, not every athlete is comfortable with being verbal. Is Kawhi just a really talented two that you need a different kind of guy to be the centerpiece of your franchise?
Well, Colin, it appears to be with a talent like Kawhi Leonard. Without question, Kawhi is one of the elite players in the NBA. He is, without exception, a lead player, and his talent warrants that respect and what he's been able to do. I mean, what he's done speaks for itself throughout his career. However, what we're talking about is a personality that requires him to do something that maybe he's not comfortable with,
right?
And that's to be confrontational at times. And all great leaders, you know, you got to do what you have to do. And, you know, you talk about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was comfortable being uncomfortable. And if need be, he would make you uncomfortable, because in the end, there was one thing that which he wanted, which is performance. You know, it all came down to winning with him. It was just, he was very single-minded, focused that way. So I think in the end, Kawhi Leonard right now is at a place where he's got to allow his personality, which may not be very verbal, he has to come out, let the guys know where he's at, and be able to really force his will upon the team, because his talent is, you know, he's without question an elite player in the NBA.
You know, the old saying in the NBA, a guy is loyal until he's not. And I love Dame, but I think he is just exhausted from dropping 50 and losing. He's still got another four. I mean, he's a smaller guy, but he's a terrific player. If you can shoot like that, you can play in the NBA for a long time.
Right.
Deep down, I know he's disappointed. Is this just like one bad night? Or, you know, as somebody who's an agent, there's going to be a lot of suitors. There's going to be people in his ear, BJ. They're going to be like, Dame, you're 30, bruh. You got to move. What do you think transpires here?
Well, I think there will be a lot of feelers and a lot of takers for a talent like Damian Lillard throughout the NBA. However, Damian has shown the ability. You know, he's very loyal. And he's been very loyal to the organization, and he's a competitor at the highest level. I mean, what he did in this last series, I mean, he's just an amazing, amazing competitor. What he was able to do and score the way he's able to score. However, I think, Colin, you made some great points. He's got to figure out at this next phase of his career, you know, he's roughly around 30, 31 years of age. You know, how much longer can a smaller guy continue to play and move? And these guys seem like they're getting faster and faster every year, like Ja Morant, so forth and so on. So he's at a place in his career where he's saying, I got to be able to make a run at the next 3 to 4 years. And what's going to give me the best, the best chances to do that and achieve? Because you clearly know the way he plays, he has one focus and he wants to win and he shows up every night. So I think he has to sit down. Right now he's very emotional. So, you know, over the summer, whenever the time is right, I think he will sit down and make the best move that, you know, he feels will be comfortable for him moving forward with his career.
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to throw a theory out to you and you tell me if it's wrong. I have no problem. I really don't. Of you ripping my theory. So here goes. It's really hard to find a great player like Dame. It's hard to find a number two. Finding a Pippen's hard. And I argue, like, they, Mark Cuban's a smart guy. They could never get Dirk a two in his prime. They can't find Dame. Portland's drafted a lot of good players. They can't find Dame a two. It's hard. And I look at Luka and I think, listen, man, they thought Porzingis was a two. He's an expensive three. That's what he's become. Is it harder as a somebody who's an agent? Because it used to be you could get 3 and 4 years of tape out of a college guy. If you screw that up as a scout, you're a bad scout. Now I get, if I'm lucky, 30 college games of tape. That's all I get. So there's more whiffs in the draft. We're asking, I mean, the NFL scout, I get 4 years of tape. I better not screw up that linebacker. NBA scouts getting 30 games. 99% of the players that Jalen Suggs at Gonzaga played against are not NBA guys. How do I know I was going to play against NBA guys? So that finding that two may be tougher now than it was in the MJ era. Am I right or wrong on that?
Colin, you're absolutely right. Finding a star player is a very difficult thing, especially today, because there's just not enough tape. There's not enough tape on these guys to actually properly evaluate. You don't know, you know, who's who. I mean, you look at Jokic. Jokic was a second round pick. Okay. And he could possibly or potentially be the MVP this year in the NBA. You know, you look at players, you know, some of these players aren't drafted. You know, the players coming from Europe, players are coming from all over. There's just not a traditional way to properly evaluate players in a league where you're seeing the players get younger and younger and younger. So you're absolutely right. Finding a number one player is very, very difficult. Finding a number two player, I mean, it's almost impossible the way these guys are playing. You got to find combination. And then, Colin, there's a thing called chemistry. You got to find guys where it just works. We don't know why it works, but it works. So, you know, Luka Doncic, you know, I had an opportunity to watch this young man for many years over in Europe. I thought he was going to be a good player. Did I think he was going to be this Luka that we're currently seeing? No. But you know what? Suddenly he's ascended to this level. I saw Giannis play over in Greece. Did I think he was going to be back-to-back MVP? The answer is no. So again, it's very difficult. But when you find them, you roll with it. And you know what? It's hard to put these combinations together because that's the one thing that the analytics doesn't show. The chemistry and the bringing a team together that works for the entire group.
You're a perfect guest today. I was just talking about this last hour with Joy, is that not only was LeBron great in his prime, but he had a superpower. He could tell Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, or he'd get on the phone and say, I want to play with you. And Chris Bosh and Kevin Love, in their prime, would go play with LeBron, give up stats, give up points. I mean, literally Chris Bosh, there were nights he had to be LeBron's valet. And he's a first-team All-NBA guy. Kevin Love was a perennial 25-12 guy. LeBron now, if he called a Ja Morant, Ja would be like, you're old. You're my Robin. I'm not your Robin. And I watched LeBron last night, and I thought, the imagery, you know this as an agent, everybody wants to play with Ja Morant now. Everybody wants to play with Luka. I think a lot of the stars, they would take LeBron's call out of respect, but why would I saddle myself to LeBron? I think the titles are done. I think the Lakers will blow it up and start over, but I watched last night. It's no knock on him, but the superpower of attracting a top five player. BJ, I think it's over. That's my interpretation. Your thoughts?
Well, I think age catches up with all of us. And certainly let's not, you know, this is a very vulnerable state that LeBron is in because he's been great for so long. But, you know, let's call it like it is. You know, LeBron is getting older. And once you get older, you know, the games in which you're able to carry a game and close a game, it begins to diminish. And that's what you're seeing. LeBron James, without question, can still finish a game. But now he's at a place in his career where having to carry a 48-minute game for 82 games or the regular season, in the case we're talking about here with these shortened seasons that we have, it's getting very difficult for him. You added injury there, and you can see how difficult it is. So I think it's important for the Lakers right now, if they're going to continue to compete for championships, Anthony Davis is going to have to be the best player on the team, in particular in the regular season. He's going to have to carry the game, which will allow LeBron James to do what LeBron James can do right now. Still at this level, he can finish a game. But getting there and playing and doing the regular season and all those things, look, we all get older. And once you get older, your body doesn't heal. You know, Father Time doesn't pass anyone. So it's just getting more difficult for him in that regard. But still, LeBron James is still an elite player at this league, even at his age. I mean, he's coming into what, you know, year 19. But right now, it's getting more and more difficult for him to do that on a very consistent basis, or what we've come to expect from LeBron James.
BJ Armstrong, have a great weekend. Always love having you on the show. Perfect guy today, 3-time champ. Good seeing you, man.
All right, you too. Thank you.
All right, BJ Armstrong, one of my favorite guys. Really good guy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I got some stepkids. I got some biological kids. I got 6, a lot of them. You learn very quickly. One size does not fit all. Some are quiet. Some are verbal and outspoken. Some are a little insecure. Some are super confident. Some are social. Some do not like crowds. That's the way kids are. They're all different. And it's weird, right? You're like, shouldn't my kids be the exact same? Same mom, same dad, same childhood, same schools, same. They're not. They're often complete opposites. There's the middle child syndrome, you know, doesn't get the attention. So New England, Bill Belichick, rookie quarterbacks, he makes it hard on them. Makes them wear dorky numbers and, you know, take a little steam out of the ego. I don't think it works with Mac Jones. I think you have to do the opposite. I think you have to sell him to the players. I said a couple days ago, video has surfaced of Cam Newton and Mac Jones next to each other. Mac Jones looks pathetic. He looks like a ball boy. Nothing fits. He looks tiny. Next to Cam Newton, the players see that. Cam's an Adonis. Mac Jones looks like somebody Cam would call and say, you park my car? He doesn't look the part. The opposite should take place. You don't have to do this with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is 6'4", 220, a man. Okay, when Justin Fields walks on the field, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. The girls, the guys, the coaches, the fans, like, whoa. Mac Jones, we knew this. Body needs to fill out. He's not ripped. He's not big. He doesn't have a big arm. What you're doing here is you're marginalizing him even more. The opposite should take place. You should go out of your way to make him look great in his uniform, great at practice, everything to benefit him. Because the players are looking at that like I am. If you walked on the field and that's the quarterback, you got to be kidding me. That wouldn't turn my head at a junior college practice. So I know this is why I'm not a big believer in one size fits all. And I used to think it did. In my 20s and 30s, I was like, winner, loser, black, white, a lot of gray in life. But this Mac Jones thing, you got to sell this to players. Because Mac Jones' arm, players don't buy it. Mac Jones' body, players don't buy it. Mac Jones in the shower, that doesn't look like a Justin Fields. Or Tom Brady, 6'5". I've been in a room with Peyton Manning. That's a pro athlete. I mean, you're in the room with some of these guys. You're like Cam Newton, Big Ben, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Brett Favre. You watch him throw one time at practice. Oh, okay, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, 2 years ago at practice, Peter Schrager called me up and said, Mahomes is insane. We told you yesterday, Justin Herbert at practice, Deshaun Watson at practice. You don't have to sell that. You don't have to protect those guys. Those guys jump off the field. Players are like, damn, what is that? Mac Jones, give him a legitimate number. Make him look the part. Reportedly, terrible practice, rough day. With that look, I don't know. I don't like it. So systems are meant to be tweaked at all times.